they do. They smile on your face. All the time they want to take your place. The backstabbers.
Backstabbers.
I keep getting do.
They smile on your face.
All the time they want to take your place. The backstabbers.
Backstabbers.
I keep what they do.
They smile on your face.
All the time they want to take your place. The backstabbers.
Good afternoon, podcast audience. It's Ken Hodge, branch president, Columbus, Ohio, with today's episode of As the Local Turns. Again, we'll be discussing We'll be discussing charge three of a four-count charge levied against me by your Tour 1 Chief Steward. Here we go. Charge 3. Brother Hodge has violated Article 3, Section 8C and 8D by stating on his podcast,
now,
your
if
suspended
you're going
president,
to
Ken Hodge,
tell them
does the EEO
and
the redress in
what
Columbus
section
for mail him.
At least tell
again,
them
it's a voluntary service.
The manual
and
or
I
the
guarantee
document
you,
you're referring
the results
to.
Results I get through EEO and redress will far surpass anything that your current union staff can do or will do. He went on to say, while chuckling, the results would be a lot better and definitely faster than if you, any mail handler, went to your union. This podcast was uploaded on February 12, 2019, and has since been deleted by Brother Hodge from the Blog Talk Radio website. Again, there's that podcast. Hey, Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, all postal employees, check out the podcast, download the podcast, listen to the podcast, because that podcast is going to give you an insight into some things that you're never going to hear come out of the mouth of your local president. Not saying he don't know him, I'm just saying his communication skills isn't on that level where it's important to him to keep you informed. But let's get back to the charges and let's address these charges. You're suspended. President does EEOs and redress. True statement. Can't really say you told a lie there. And again, when I said to mail handlers, because it sounds like something I would definitely say. And let me say this to you, and I'm not being cocky or arrogant. When you have a steward who can't protect the rights of a member and can't stop,
remember,
management,
you
firing
this nonsense
on defective
now
discipline. Couldn't represent him to getting back to work. Now your suspended branch president comes in, sets up one, not two, not three, one redress EEO meeting, which had a mediator there, and I get him back to work in under a week. I'm sorry, I'm not the most intelligent person in the world, but I think that is faster. That is better than anything his union did for him. Now, you may be mad at me for drawing a parallel comparison to what I do and what the union do, but come on, that doesn't make me anti-union. What that makes is the union
send a bad message to the people.
That makes the union not really care about the members who pay their dues. Because let me tell you something. Nobody is going to be able to say I did a step one, a step two. Got you out of, you're fired for all intents and purposes. You're on the rolls waiting on step three, but you're not making any money. And an EEO person came in and got that member back to work. See, me personally, I would probably think I'm going to buy that EEO rep. Maybe I'll send him dinner. Maybe I'll send him tickets to the movie for him and his wife, because you just did an awesome thing for one of our members. But you see, the awesomeness of that situation being resolved by your suspended branch president, it doesn't lead into the damaging effect that your local president want me to have on members. I told him when I met him, this is what I do. Postal operations, postal employment, and now a union strong president. This is what I do. All my years in the postal service, this is what it has prepared me for. So instead of them just saying, hey, thank you, branch president, or maybe even, wait a minute, if Ken Hodge is suspended and he can still do bring him back to work, handle situations as bringing mail handlers back to work, that the union could not do. Let that brother do his job.
Or did not do as of yet.
Again, you know what? But let me tell you something. I'm at home. I'm starving. I don't have any money coming in. And from my postal check, do you think it really matters to me who got me back to work? I'm saying as a member. And if you were that member, do you mean to tell me after we did an EEO and got in a settlement that you could come back to work the next week with 50% of your earnings or your discipline wiped out of your folder? Do you mean to tell me that you would look me in the face or look anyone in the face and say, no, I want to stay out of work because I'm going to wait for local 304 to come through the doors and save my job? No, you wouldn't, and no, he didn't, so he's back to work now. And again, I think it's pathetic that you use a situation of me helping a member as a charge against me as a president. And we're probably going to hit that again in charge four, but right now we're just going to concentrate on charge three.
Hey, members, listen to the, it sounds like somebody just don't want Ken Hodge to run for local president. That's what all I'm hearing. Is it even possible to fathom that a union member would bring a charge against a union branch president because the union branch president is still doing still out there working hard for the members? And in most cases, probably giving better advice than the current staff can do. And let me say something to the current staff in Columbus, Ohio. And again, I'm not trying to sound cocky and I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but I don't really blame you because I should be at work, active in my job, guiding and directing that union. But your local president is not going to let that happen because, again, and you're going to hear this a lot from me because this is what I believe. I believe that he is afraid because if he allows me to do the job that I can do as a branch president, again, he knows he can go ahead and enjoy his retirement. Because the local will see that, you know, once again, not a bad thing, it's a better thing. So you served a purpose, but that purpose is done now, local president. It's time for new leadership. It's time for a new voice. We have different generations of employees at work, and personally, I don't think that you set to deal with that. And that's okay. Everybody can't stay on top forever. See, that was me giving you a kudo that maybe at one time you might have been on top. And members, the two main violations that they like to point to in these four comical charges against Branch President Hodge coming out of your uniform local union constitution is Section 8, C and D. And I'm going to read them again for you, verbatim. It shall be the obligation of the members of this local union to recognize and respect the right of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union and this local union to adapt and enforce reasonable rules as to the responsibility of every member towards this union as an institution, and to refrain from conduct that would interfere with the performance of its lawful and contractual obligation. Now that's 8C. And then on this particular charge, they threw in 8D also, to refrain from interfering with the proper conduct of union business. If you have an employee at work, I'm just giving you an example right now. If you have an employee at work who for whatever reason is superiorly knowledgeable about a contract, about our union contract, and members find a little more comfort and satisfaction going to that member, are you telling me that because that member answers questions and provide guidance on how another member should proceed to the union with a grievance, Do you really consider that interfering with your business? Come on. I mean, you're really stretching here. I think what you want to say is, instead of interfering with your business, when I talk to members and give them articles, paragraphs that they should be concerned with respect to their union issues, when they bring that to the stewards, I think that might be too much work for the steward to do. So therefore, in this case here, your 201 chief steward feels it necessary to make that a formal charge. I don't get it, folks. Again, I just don't get it. Here you are, here I am, still working hard for the members, showing even in the face of some total nonsense, you can still cut. I still, when I get up and go to work every day, I don't get to go in the union office, but I still consider myself the branch president. I don't have to touch the processing of grievances. I don't have to do that because, see, unfortunately, here's another public service announcement to the local president. Branch presidents do way more than process grievance. But you not knowing that, that's what 99% of my suspension was about. So I don't. But there are so many other ways that I still help our members. So if I was to try to summary or give you a quick synopsis of this third paragraph or the third charge brought against the branch president of Columbus, Ohio, by the 201 chief steward in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, I guess that kind of lets everybody know there's a lot of harmony in Columbus. And let me tell you, while you might think it's just disharmony involving Ken Hodge, I'm pretty sure if you were actually concerned, you'll find that it's much larger than that. But charge three basically says that because I told you I could do something,
bring them back faster,
and I did it,
much better resolve.
That's a violation of the constitutional, our union constitution. Folks, please open your eyes and see through this. You know, and when they talk about Article 3, Section 8C and 8, well, let's start with 8C. They keep talking about a reasonable rule. Folks, don't get misled because you think the branch president and your state rep kind of know what they're talking about here. A suspension is not a reasonable rule. So you can't give me a suspension and then quote articles out of our Constitution that address a reasonable rule. But when you're grasping at straws, see, this is some of the brainstorming that goes on. You know, as I podcast this to you, I want to ask members, how many of you actually know we have a uniform local union constitution? And I'm really, really not being funny. How many of you ever read it? How many of you ever seen it? Or is that something that the local has been telling you that you don't need to know? Well, I would tell you to go to the local 304 webpage and you could download it, but they don't have the uniform local union constitution there. They have the national. And if anyone at 304 who does the webpage sees that, could you correct that and put the correct image? Yeah, and just, you know, FYI, there is a national and local constitutions, and there is a uniform local union constitution. I say again, because they're not the same. There is a national and local constitutions, and then there is a uniform local union constitution. And sometimes it's easy to mix the two up, but if you start looking in the national for Article 3, Section 8A, you're probably not going to find it. And then you'll get frustrated. So again, let's see if we can get that corrected on the 304 webpage so that we discern the difference between the national and local constitution and the uniform local union constitution. Hey, listen, like I said, I'm going to keep these podcasts to 15 minutes. Tomorrow we'll conclude the last episode with respect to addressing charges. Then we'll have one more day of summarization. And again, I don't do this for any other reason than I hope that during this process, we now understand that we have a uniform and local constitution. We understand that we have national and local constitution. And while this saga or this nonsense, let's call it, while this soap opera is going on, it gives us a chance to pull out these documents, to read our constitution, read the national. And again, I guarantee you, if you read it, you're going to stumble upon something that makes you say, wow, I didn't know we could do that. So it ain't all bad. In fact, there's nothing but good here.
Now, will they go by it?
So follow along. You can exercise, your mind while you look at the constitutions and go through this process. And an educated, or not even so much educated, an informed mail handler, that's what strengthens an informed local. Talk to you tomorrow at noon, and we'll talk about charge 4.